Well, let's open our Bibles. We're continuing again in these series of messages called Speak the Word Only. And if you would, let's start this lesson by going over to John 3, 16, 17 and 18. John chapter 3 and verses 16, 17 and 18. And let's read that together. Faith truly does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
And let's read together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let's jump over to John. Keep your finger there for a second in John 3. Let's flip over to John 13, and let's read verses 34 and 35. It says, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, this message title tonight, if you have to have a message title, it's Faith Without Works is Dead. Now, I would just draw your attention, if you would, to John 3, 16, 17, and 18. And let me ask a question. He talks about God loving the world, but what did He do? He did something. He gave. He sent His Son. So He just didn't, say, I love you from heaven. He did something. He sent Jesus to this earth. So there was some action to His faith. You see, His faith was not dead. And you can see also in the continuing verses, he that does what? Believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And we'll see further in this lesson that there needs to be, I guess what you could call it this way, faith in and of itself without action is what? Dead. So there has to be an action. You could say faith is a noun, but faith without works is dead. So when we say here, he that believeth, there had to be some action on that person's part when they believed. What did they do? They confessed to the Lord Jesus. There was an action. And the same also you can see here in John 13. It says we're to love what? As He loved. There was an action. Amen. So let's turn over, and I want to just review a little bit from Sunday, not to go back over it, but just to connect what we're going to do this evening. And if we would, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, a familiar scripture. And we looked at this on Sunday and a few other scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, in relationship to this. And 2 Corinthians 5, 7, familiar scripture verse, For we walk by faith and not by sight. And we shared that this verse, this word faith in the Greek is pistis. And you can look it up for yourself, but it means a conviction of the truth of anything. It's a belief. It's a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. And also, I like Vine's definitions. It says, faith is a confidence. It's a persuasion. It also says it's a firm persuasion. And one of the definitions that I do like, it says, faith is a conviction based upon hearing. So when we go back and you look in Mark 5 and you look at the woman with the issue of blood, it talks about when she heard of Jesus. So there was a conviction, a persuasion. Why did she press through the crowd to touch him? She was persuaded of something that she heard. That's faith. But without just saying, I want to reach Jesus, there had to be some action. What did she do? She pressed to touch him because she heard of Jesus. She heard about Jesus, and some of the other translations make it a little more plain. The Bible in Basic English, or the BBE, says, when she had news of the things which Jesus did. Boy, that's plain. When she heard of the things that he did, she said, I'm getting me some. And she was convinced and pressed through to touch him. That's faith. And what did Jesus say? He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. So she put some action to what she heard. She had a conviction. She had a persuasion. But if she hadn't acted on that conviction, if she hadn't acted on that persuasion, her faith and her conviction would have been dead. If she hadn't got up and put some feet to that conviction and touched him, then she would have got nothing. See? And that's the thing that we were touching on Sunday, that when we use this, when we express the scripture, when we say, for we walk by faith and not by sight, one could say, we walk by our convictions. We walk by our persuasions. We walk by our beliefs. What beliefs? Beliefs in the things that we've read, things that we've heard. Faith comes by hearing. Convictions come by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. Persuasions, firm persuasions, come by hearing the Word of God. Do I hear it? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So what are you convinced? What are you persuaded about? And that's what I was sharing on Sunday in 2 Timothy, where it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. These are perilous times. These are dangerous times that we live in. And you better have a firm conviction about what you believe in. You better have a firm persuasion about what you believe in. Because it's a time that we live in that you better be persuaded.
Amen.
Otherwise, you can be swayed. You see. What are you convinced and persuaded of in the scriptures concerning God meeting your needs? What are you convinced of and persuaded of concerning your covenant right to healing? Are you persuaded of that? Or are you going to be moved upon by a report that you get? See, that could change your conviction. Are you absolutely convinced? Because the scripture says that man that has his house built on a foundation, on a rock, when the floods come, when the winds come, that house stands. Because, why? They're convinced. They're persuaded. Now, does that mean we don't go to doctors? Does that mean we don't seek professional help? No, that does not mean that. What that means is you don't put your trust in that. You go to God first. He may direct you to do that. But you've got to know what it is that you're believing. You've got to be absolutely convinced of what you believe. Because otherwise you're going to be moved. You're going to be swayed. And that's the thing that I believe, that there's a generation that the devil has worked at and worked at and worked at to separate from those that are older and tried to separate, so they're separated from wisdom, from the parents. And he's gotten at these young children, and they're now convinced of something else. They're convinced God doesn't care for them. They're convinced God is out in Jamaica somewhere. But we here in this generation here has got to reach in and take back this generation of young children and young men and women and get them back. You understand what I'm talking about? Because he's stole them. And he's a thief. And we need to have the wisdom of God. We need to be convinced and not just sit on the sidelines and say, well, somebody else will do it. No, we're here with the gospel and the power of God to reach them. And see, you can have, and this is where faith without works is dead. You could have a compassion. You could say, boy, I really want to reach them. I really want to help. Without works, your conviction to reach them and your persuasion, you could say, yeah, I'm persuaded. We need to reach them. I'm convinced. I'm really convinced we need to reach them. But without your works, your convictions and your persuasions are dead. It's dead faith. Unless we put some action to our convictions, the scripture in James 2 is very clear. Faith without works is dead. And we can be convinced, because that's what the scripture says. It says, if you see a brother or sister destitute, and you say, be warmed, and you pass by, and you don't do anything, you could want to help them. You could say, they need to be helped. And you walk by and don't do anything. Your faith is dead. And I'm telling you, the Lord's been speaking to me lately. What are you doing in this area? What are you doing in this area? What are you doing to reach out further? He's speaking to me. As I shared it with Pastor Greg, I said, what are we doing in these areas? What are we doing to reach out individually as a church, to reach out and stretch? Because we can say, I have faith. But if you ain't doing nothing, your faith is dead. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to do it tonight, but we can walk over and look in Revelations and see what God talks about to certain churches and says, and spits them out because they are lukewarm. And so for me, it's speaking to me. Now, it doesn't mean we just run off, but it does mean we need to start praying and asking God for strategies to take back generations that have been stolen. I'm telling you. So, I didn't mean to get off on that, but it was just in my heart to share that. Let's turn real quick to Ephesians 6, Ephesians chapter 6. God is stirring our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, chapter 16. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Excuse me. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We could say it, I shared it on Sunday, we could say it like this, taking the shield of your persuasions, taking the shield of your convictions, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil or the wicked one. And I'm not going to go over that tonight. Let's jump over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse So we looked at, you know, we're looking at faith from just looking at inserting the definitions in for faith instead of the word for faith. It's no different than we can look at 1 John, it says God is love. And so we can take out the word God and stick in love in many of the scriptures, and it adds a different meaning to that scripture that you're reading. And it's the same thing here. We're just taking the definitions of faith, some that are used in the Greek translations, and inserting them in where faith is used and looking at that scripture in a different light. Now, Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, just the same way, you can take a scripture verse and look at it differently, or scripture verses. Now, let's read this a little differently. And we're looking at, I want to tie together verse 17 where it says here, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What comes by hearing? Faith. Faith comes by hearing. Now, take this scripture verses 13 and 14 and let's read it in the reverse format. Says, without a preacher, how shall they hear? And what's the next? It says, without hearing, how shall they believe? And how shall they call unless they believe? And then, how shall they be saved unless they call? So you can look at that scripture in a different light. And you can see that just by looking at the scripture back, reading it backwards. And you can see here that in the light, this says here, when it says, how shall they, what, in other words, if they're not preached to, without a preacher, how shall they hear? And you walk all the way back up, and how shall they believe unless they hear? So let me ask a question. This says, faith cometh by hearing. So let me ask you a question. Does believing come by hearing? Yeah, it does. And also, when you look up the definition of faith, which is pistis, one of the definitions is to believe. So faith comes by hearing, and so does believing. Believing what? Believing his word, believing him. Believing comes by hearing. So when you look at that, we walk by faith. You walk by your convictions, you walk by your persuasions, and you walk by your beliefs, and not by sight. What do you believe? What are you convinced of? What are you persuaded of? It comes by hearing. And the same thing, you can be convinced and persuaded and believe something else by what you hear. And that's what the devil has done where people are concerned, where our young children are concerned. They're believing a lie. Believing a lie about God. That he cares for them, that he loves them, that as that little video snippet said, he's being pursued by God. He's pursuing them. And so here we can see faith comes by hearing, and so does our beliefs. So we can see faith and belief are the same thing. It's the same thing. So faith must result with an action. So when it says here, faith comes by hearing, when you look at Romans 10:17, and it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that only tells you how faith comes. It doesn't tell you how to release it, does it? It only tells you how it comes. It just tells you faith comes by hearing. Okay, great. How do I get something out of that? How do I exercise it? It doesn't tell you that here. It just tells you how it comes. So what does that mean? You could have faith and it could be dead. You could be convinced. I heard this thing. I am convinced. And you stand there and do nothing. And your faith is dead. Because why? You didn't act on it. And this scripture verse here doesn't tell you how to act on it. It just tells you how it comes. Right? Am I telling you the truth?
Yes.
I believe that's what the scripture says. So you can have faith and not release it. You can have convictions. You can have firm persuasions and not act on them, and your faith is dead. You could believe something and not act on it. You could believe this is the right thing to do. You could say, you know, I really should get to work on time, but I'm going to sleep in this morning. So your convictions, you don't put some action to it, then your convictions are dead. You could say, you know, I really should love my husband. Or let's say it this way, the husband should really love his wife like Christ loves the church. But you know what? She did this. Forget it. Then your convictions are dead. Your persuasions are dead. You could really want to. You know, you believe it, but you don't act on it. It's dead. And that's where God has been speaking to us, that if we can't, and again, I'm not here to poke at anybody. The Holy Ghost will do that. I'm just highlighting scripture. That's not, my job is real easy. I'm just following him. I'm just saying what he's prompting me to say. And you're the one that's saying, ooh, ouch. But the point is, David, when he faced Goliath, he said, I will fight him. And when Goliath was cursing God, he was like, no way. What did the Israeli army do? They hid. They hid. And so they may have been convinced that, hey, he shouldn't do that. But when they saw him, they said, ain't no way I'm going out there and fight this guy. But David did. He put some action to it and started to pronounce some things and said, he's no different than the bear and the lion that I took down. So he had some experience with faith and some action in faith, you see. So we must release our faith. We must release our beliefs. Now let's jump over to James chapter 2, and look at this familiar chapter, which talks to all of us. See, you know, you think you're the only one that has your toes stepped on. I'm having mine stepped on even while I'm teaching here. I'm like, ouch, ouch. See, we all have areas that we need to make corrections in or to make changes. Amen? We can be thinking we're going along and God will just pull the shade up on you and you go, oh yeah, right. You know, we're all not exempt. James chapter 2, let's look at verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, the answer is no. See, you could believe God. You could say, I believe God. Yeah, I believe I should be saved. But you never profess him, you never move in that direction, can faith save you? No, not without a corresponding action, not without some works. And then it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, do what? Being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith. Show me thy convictions. Show me thy persuasions. Show me thy beliefs. Right? You could say the same thing. Without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I'll show you my convictions. I'll show you my persuasions. I'll show you my beliefs by my works. You see, you could say it that way. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then it continues. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And you can go back and read that. I mean, where God required him to take his son to be offered. He said, yeah, I'm persuaded it was God. I'm convinced. But you just sit there and think about what that means, and you don't do anything. And this said here, he was justified by his works, which means he was convinced. He was persuaded in moving forward that when he killed his son, God would have raised him from the dead. He was that convinced. He was that persuaded. And it's the same thing where we're concerned. What are we convinced of? What are we persuaded of? And what action are we taking on those convictions and persuasions? What actions are we taking? You know, when doctors give a report, and I'm just making that as a statement, that when doctors give a report, what is your first reaction? What is that first reaction? Is it, oh my God, what am I going to do? Is it, I'm going to get on the phone? Or whatever you gravitate to, that's what you're persuaded of. That's what you're convinced of. That's what your belief is. And you're acting, you're moving in that direction. And those things we need to examine and get corrected, because we may find ourselves, excuse me, in a situation where there is no hope other than God. That's it. They'll just sit down and look at you very nice and say, you know, I'm sorry, we've done everything we can, and there's nothing else we can do. And then at that point, you have a choice to make. You can either lay down and die, or you're going to seek God and believe God, which we should be doing to begin with, and not put all of our trust in a man. Or a procedure, or anything. And I know for me, I've shared it many times, that when I had this stomach issue, it wasn't a little pain, it was blinding pain, all the time, 24/7. And I just would force myself to close my eyes, and I never missed a responsibility. I never was not in the choir loft. I never was not somewhere doing something. But the pain was so, anybody who's ever had pain in this area, you push or sing and you push against the diaphragm in this area and it exacerbates it even more. And there were many times I stood against this pulpit when it was here just to hold on so I didn't hit the floor. That's how much pain I was in. And I stood and said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I didn't budge off it. Not one iota. And I believed I had it. And I'd say it and meditate on Scripture. But after a year of pain, I began to have some thoughts. I did. I started saying, okay, I've gotten instant healings. I've worked the word in this area where I've gotten it working in my body. And when something doesn't respond in a year, I'm beginning to say, okay, have I missed it somewhere? That's examining yourself. I said, okay, maybe I missed it somewhere. Have I? And I didn't voice that. I thought it. Because I didn't confess I have missed it. I said, maybe I have. And I was vacationing. And when I came back, I was standing in the shower. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I'm just standing under the shower head. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And I stand there and I said, really? I said, uh-huh. I did. I just kind of uh-huhed for a minute or two. But I did nothing for 2 weeks. I didn't. I'll be honest. I didn't do a thing for 2 weeks. I knew it was the Holy Ghost. And I started saying, well, I know it's the Holy Ghost, but I'm standing in faith. And then finally I said, idiot, that was the Holy Ghost. You're in pain. Why don't you follow what he just said? So I did. I just went to the emergency room, and I had never taken any medicine. So they said, take this. And I started having some exams and checkups and things. And anyways, I went to I was doing what the Lord told me. And I went to a doctor, and this was supposed to be the best at this field. And he looked at me and said, this doesn't look good. You know what my first thought was? You're an idiot. I did. He never pressed. He never did an exam. He walked in. He goes, this doesn't look good. And I'm thinking, you are an idiot. And I left. I never came back. I did. I never went back because I said, there's something wrong. This is not right. You're just speaking death words over me. Serious. You're speaking death words over me. And it didn't bear witness to me. So I left and never came back. And so in discussing, I ended up finally seeing a nutritionist. Circuitous, still was a doctor, but it was a nutritionist. And this is what he said. This is a doctor who's not even a specialist in a hospital. You know what he said to me? He said, I'll have you turned around in 2 weeks. And sometimes your expression, you know, you look at somebody and he said, do you know how many of these I've resolved in people in my 70 years or 60 years of practice? I said, no, sir, I do not. He said, over 5,000. I said, okay now. Yeah. And so he said, do you know your stomach will heal itself in 5 days if you stop putting food in it? And I said, no, I didn't. Now, I had gone to an emergency room. I had gone to a specialist. I walked out. He never told me what I should eat, didn't eat. He just, you know, just said, take this medicine. Idiot. Well, I don't mean, that's maybe harsh. It is a little harsh because probably meant well, but just wasn't trained to know. But for me, it was an idiot. For me, it wasn't godly wisdom. It was carnal. It was not godly wisdom. And this man I went and saw said 5 days. So he did. He put me on puree food. He said, okay, you can have greens and puree it. And so he put me on that for 5 days. Now, I lost weight, a whole lot of weight. I looked like a string bean. I got down below. I said, Doc, you're killing me. I did. He said, no, you're not going to die. He said, you'll be fine. And I'm serious. In 5 days, the fire started going out of my stomach. And in 2 weeks, it started turning around, and he pressed it, and he said, we're 85%. And in 6 months, I never felt better in my life. And after about 6 months, when I went to see him, I said, let me ask a question. How serious was this? He said, one more week, they would have opened you up. And I knew when he said that, the Holy Ghost said, if they'd opened you up, they'd have gone down. So he knew. He knew. So I said, you know what? We need to follow the Holy Ghost when he speaks. Yeah, we stand on the Word of God. We're convinced. I was. But what it did tell me, and it answered some things for me about faith, because I said, God, I believed you. I'm acting. I'm standing in faith. But when I went to Christ the Healer, and it talked about 21 reasons why you don't get healed, number 5 was violating the laws of nature. And I said, there it is. There was the problem. I was violating natural laws and applying spiritual things. And God's laws are spiritual. His natural laws are spiritual. He created them. All things are upheld by the power of His Word. And I was violating them, hitting my hand with a hammer, and then praying over it. I mean, how dumb is that? See? And I knew that something wasn't right, because I heard so many Christians say they got their Big Macs piled up and the French fries and the cheesecake and say, God bless this food for our nourishment. And I said, damn, that's something wrong with that. Oh yeah, I blessed my food. Yeah, huh? Right, you did. Yep. Then why do you look like you do? Something's wrong. See, and we're not going to God for... We go to God for what we need and what we want, but when we ask Him, are we going to Him to ask Him how we should conduct? We're to walk by faith and not by what we see. Some of us are going, yeah, I'm walking by what I see. This big plate of ribs and fried chicken. Yes, indeed. And I walk by what I see and what I taste, not by our convictions. See, it's like this. You could sit down and they could put a big spread. And you could know in your heart, yeah, I'm convinced I shouldn't eat that. And I'm persuaded I shouldn't. But your faith is dead. You know why? Because you ain't acting on it. You're getting another plate. It's the truth. See, I'm getting over here and stepping on some folks where food is concerned. But it could be no different with you going to the job. It could be no different with you shopping. You know, I shouldn't shop and spend all this money. But I know I'm going to do it anyways. It's the same thing. And if you can't apply your faith there, if you can't walk in faith where your eating is concerned, if you can't walk in faith where your spending habits are concerned, if you can't walk in faith with getting to the job on time, what's going to happen when the doctor says, I'm sorry, can't help you? You won't do the same thing. You won't walk in faith because you're not acting in faith in those other areas. It says we're to walk by faith. That means conduct every area of our life by faith, by our convictions, by our persuasions. See, that's kind of hard. I'm talking to me. See, don't look at me like... I'm talking to me too. See, because we all have to make corrections, and we can be convinced, we can be persuaded that we should, but when we don't act on it, it's dead faith. It's dead faith. And it says, continuing, when we go down further, in verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? No. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So it's not just your convictions. It's not just your persuasions. It's not just your beliefs only, but there must be a connection. There's a team working here. There's a team of your persuasions and convictions and your action that releases the benefits of God in your life. The benefits of God cannot be released into your life by faith alone. Cannot be. You could want to be blessed. You could want to have that, things, the benefits of God, but faith only will not get them to you. Faith only. That's what it says here. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. And we're not going to talk, but that's a good story right there. She was saved because of her what? Her actions. And her household. When she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, think about this. Let's look at this last scripture verse here. In verse 26, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or a corresponding action is dead also. Now think about this. Your body, without its soul and spirit, is it productive? Something that's dead is lifeless. It's not productive. I wrote some things down over here. It's not productive. Let's just put it that way. It's dead. Let me ask a question. If your spirit and your soul leave your body being alone, is it lifeless? Yes, it's dead. It's not productive, which means you can't get up and walk, you can't clean the house, you can't go somewhere. It's not productive. So that means when your spirit and your soul enter your body, now your body becomes what? Productive. It benefits people. It benefits you. But the minute your spirit and soul leave it, it's not productive. Same thing. Your faith without an action is not productive. You could be convinced. You could be absolutely persuaded of God's word. I know in whom I believe. And you don't do anything. Then your faith is dead. How do we say it in Spanish? Muerta. Who? Muerta. Is dead. It's not productive. So one of the things that God has been speaking to me, and I'm just sharing it from my heart, is that God is saying to us, okay, it's not a matter of that you don't have faith. You got faith. You're convinced. You're persuaded. And that's good. Now, what are you doing with it? What actions? Are you sitting down? Has God nudged you to do something and you're just sitting there doing nothing? Your faith will be dead. See? And you can go, and the thought just came to me about the man with the talents. He got a talent, and he did this. Stuck it in the ground. And some did something with their talents. See, God gave them a gift, gave them a talent, and they began to do what? They put some action to those talents that they had. And see, that's the thing that we have to realize. And then God said, those that did nothing with it, they were taken away and given to somebody else. So we need to be, And God is stirring our hearts to examine and reflect and see, am I exercising my faith? And if I'm not in a certain area, if I haven't been to the best that I should, then make the correction. Judge yourself that you be not judged. Because the times that we're in are dangerous times. They're perilous times that we live in. But through Christ, we can do all things. Through the power of God's word, we can do it. But we're going to have to act upon that word. And that's what, you know, you've heard Brother Hagin share and others share about how he put faith or action to what he believed. You've heard the story of Brother Hagin, who finally the revelation of God's word. That's really what the scripture shares. He said, my words are spirit and life. My words are spirit and life. Well, what that is it's the words, if you look that word up, is rhema. It's the revelation of God's word that's spirit and life. And life is zoe. So when revelation comes, it's not just the confessing of God's word, but it's when rhema comes, faith comes. When the revelation of God's word is revealed in your spirit, and you say, I see it, I see it, I see it, as faith comes. Now what are you going to do now? You're just going to say, glory to God, hallelujah, and do nothing? And then it's dead faith. It's dead faith. And God is prompting us to examine ourselves in every area of our life. Our love life, our prosperity life, our marriages, our children, our jobs, every area, for we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Because it's impossible to please God. See, what does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I encourage you, examine yourself, look at those areas that maybe you haven't been acting. You're convinced, you're persuaded, but you haven't done anything. Or you're hesitant to. You're like, you're like Mars, the cat. You know, like here, maybe, I don't know, maybe next week. You know, a joking aside, but some of us, it's no different than going to the gym. I'm convinced it's a great idea. I think I'm persuaded it's a great idea, but it ain't benefiting me if I don't go. I could believe in it. I could think it's a great thing. But if I don't go, I'm going to get out of shape and flabby and all the other kind of things. So we could believe in something. We could be convinced of something and take no action, and it's dead faith. Amen. So there needs to be some action. And God, I'm just sharing this, what I believe is that these next steps, these things that God is opening doors for us, are going to require faith in action. Because there are going to be some things, if you think, yeah, God said he's going to give us that property over there, that whole mall, everything, as a spoil. If you think it's going to come without some opposition and tests and stuff, you're in dreamland. There going to be some tests. It's no different than when God said to the Israelites, go in and take the land. It's yours. But there's some giants there. But you can take it. It's yours. And so it's the same thing here. I didn't say we will, but we may run into some opposition. And God is going to give us some strategies on how to take it and to do it. And it's going to require that you fulfill it exactly as he said, not look at it and go like, oh my God, I don't know. Maybe we can't. Yes, you can. And it's going to take faith with an action to get this job done. And it's going to take courage and faith to take back the generations that have been stolen. It's going to take faith to reach the youth. And there's going to have to be some action. And I'm asking God every day, how are you going to use me? How do you want me to use me, Lord? I'm not saying I'm the right person, but I'm telling you, I'm examining myself every day as to how to be used. And you think about this, just use a simple example. God spoke to Pastor Judy. She could say, oh yeah, I believe it, Lord, I should go, but I'm living in Atlanta. And I don't like the north. It's too cold up there. And I ain't liking it. And not do anything. And who would be the loser? Both of us. We would have missed, and so would she. She'd have been out of the will of God, and we would have not benefited. See? So there had to be hearing God and then doing something. Even when it's uncomfortable. Even when it's not to your liking, you go anyways, and God will meet your need, and He will supply and fill you with joy, even when you don't think it's where you should be. Because there are generations of people. Think of it this way: our faith victories affect generations. Our faith victories affect generations. When we overcome, we can affect someone else where they can overcome, and somebody else can overcome, and somebody else can overcome. So it's not just about getting a faith victory. Your faith victory affects generations of people. And it's about, it, to me, it's about that. It's not about my comfort and what I like or don't like. It's about the people God's trying to reach through me. And I think we need to keep that in mind. Amen? So let's say that faith without works, without a corresponding action, is dead, being alone. Hallelujah. Say, my faith is working. The word that I've heard is working mightily in me. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hello. Mike, please.
When you mention what the devil has done with our youth, and you said the title, Faith Without Works is Dead, two scriptures came up, and the Holy Ghost said to me that, yes, the enemy has taken our children, but something had to happen first, because the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but something has to happen before he can steal, kill, or destroy. And the scripture says, unless first they have to bind the strong man, and then they can spoil his goods. So in order for the enemy to come and take our children, we had to be bound so we couldn't do anything about it. When we refuse to operate in faith, we're bound. We're bound. We're believing, but we're not acting like we believe. And then we believe a stronger man has come.
I can hook up with that.
Jesus said he gave us power over all the power of the enemy. So how can he steal, kill, or destroy anything we have? Lest he bind the strong man. And he cannot bind the strong man if the strong man's faith is alive and active. Yep. We've allowed our faith to die, and we get bound. We look at what the enemy has presented all of our children with, and we say, well, our hands are tied. You're bound. You're listening to what people say you can't say to your children, and you become tongue-tied, you're bound. We're not acting like we are the church. We're not acting like we have power over all the power of the enemy, and we've allowed ourselves to become bound, and our faith is dead because our faith is dead.
Amen. I'm hooking up with that. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word and revelation. Thank you, Father, for prompting us, nudging us, exposing our thinking, and motivating us, Father, to move forward and stronger in faith. Correct the areas in our lives that we need to be corrected. And Father, we're so grateful, for you're a God that loves, and you who love chastens and corrects. So, Father, we thank you, and we give you the praise and the glory and the honor this evening. We're so grateful, so grateful, so merciful, so kind to us, Father. Thank you. We just thank you today for all that you've done. Thank you for the foundation that's been built. Thank you for the revelation that's being built upon this foundation in the name of Jesus. And we decree and proclaim a revival in this area. We decree and proclaim a revival in this area, not only among the youth, but among the adults. And we proclaim it, we decree it, we thank you, Father, for supernatural signs and wonders in this area that will reach into every family, every nationality and gender. And we thank you, Father, for it. We decree it, we pronounce it, and believe by faith to have it. In Jesus' name, amen.